Arm Aronson of the Total Sports Recall Podcast here to share a winning strategy for Father's Day from our partners at Sterling Roastery. If your dad treats his morning coffee like a pregame ritual, you need to introduce him to the Sterling Roastery lineup. This isn't that stale, over-roasted stuff sitting on our grocery shelf. Sterling roasts their beans multiple times a week for unbeatable freshness. The smart play? A coffee subscription. He gets to choose his grind, from French press to espresso, and his favorite roast, depth. It's a world-class lineup of Java that shows up like a reliable veteran on a perennial powerhouse team. Go to sterlingsoap.com and set him up. He'll thank you with every cup. That's sterlingsoap.com.
With the 32nd pick of the NFL draft, the world champions have selected.
You're probably sick and tired of hearing the word draft as we approach the NFL draft coming up on April 23rd for the first round. And I promise you, we're not going to do mock drafts and talk about this upcoming draft. We're going to talk about football history and the history of the draft. I'm joined by Ed Cleese for the next 32 days as we air this 32 days before the 2026 draft. And we're going to talk about pick number 32 in history. Ed, welcome back to the Pigpen.
Hey, Darren, I am pumped for this.
Yeah, this is going to be a lot of fun. This is a great idea you had of going 32 straight days leading up to the draft and talking a lot of football history and a lot of great players that were picked in those picks.
Any opportunity to totally nerd out, I will take it.
Yeah, most definitely. And I think the audience will too. And I think maybe we'll kick that off with some nerding out right now about pick 32. Just some fun facts about pick 32. 22 times of the 90 drafts, that's 1937 through 2025, that it was in the first round. So you know, our modern day mind thinks, oh, this is always in the first round. But it was technically in the second round recently, 2023. The Steelers picked 32 because Miami forfeited their pick. And back in 2016, New England forfeited their pick. And it was in the second round. So it's been a selection more in the second round than it has been in the first round through the first 90 years.
Right. And obviously, you know, we were still at 28 teams as recently as 95, right? Yeah. So 94 was the 94. Last year that we had 28 teams. So up until that point, the first, you know, that was the 32nd pick was like the fourth pick in the second round. So yes, during some of my research too, not all of these are first rounders.
Yeah, that's definitely a pick. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your feel of pick 32?
Sure. So when I was looking through it, I felt pick 32 had a lot of guys, names you'll know, but not a ton of major impact players. I was a little surprised about that. It's a lot of guys like Teddy Bridgewater, Ziggy Hood, a guy that you'll remember for the Steelers, mm-hmm. defensive lineman, Ben Watson, tight end for the Patriots, and like Jerome Paython, receiver. Guys that had solid careers, but weren't really big earth movers, you know? And then I think at pick 32, it's very difficult to call anybody a bust at that pick, but there was one player that I found very interesting. In 1989, the Kansas City Chiefs selected quarterback Mike Elkins out of Wake Forest. And when I saw that, I was like, wait, that's in the wheelhouse of when I was watching football. I do not remember this guy at all. And when I looked it up, this, I think you'd have to call this a bust. He threw two passes in the NFL for the Chiefs. One was an interception. So he played part of one game, threw two passes, 5 yards, a 5 yard completion and an interception, and then was basically out of the league. So that was the one real bust that I could find on the list. If you could call it that, you know, at that point, that was a second round pick. So that was one interesting one. And then my team, the Redskins, actually took Patrick Ramsey at quarterback in 2002. And that was very close to being a bust as well. Very short career, didn't do very well, was a bit saddled with the Spurrier era, the brief Spurrier era there in Washington. So those are kind of the two the two that kind of stood out as maybe not working out. And then it was a whole bunch of guys that were just kind of like, eh, they're fine.
Yeah. And then folks, just so you know, Ed is talking about the drafts of the last 45 years, since 1980, he's talking. I'm going to paint with a little bit broader brush to give you a bigger picture. I'm going to go all 90 drafts. And there's some interesting things because there are also some big names from before the Super Bowl era. We have one Hall of Famer that was drafted at pick 32. And I just flipped my page here away from him. And that's Bob St. Clair back in 1953 by San Francisco. So they were just only 3 years into the NFL after being in the AFC. And Bob St. Clair was drafted. And you also had some stars that you may remember from the original Monday Night Football or early Monday Night Football. Dandy Don Meredith was drafted by the Cowboys. It was pick number 32 in the 1960 draft. That was a third-round pick back then, by the way. And Bob St. Clair was also a third-round pick. And Tony Galbraith, New Orleans Saints, picked him at 32 in the second round in 1976. So some big stars throughout.
In honor of Don Meredith, I will not sing like he used to do in the Monday Night Football booth. I will spare everybody that. But Darren, actually, I have my top five list of players. And again, yes, I went from 1980 on. I had to kind of try to pare it down a little bit to go player by player. And I just sort of randomly chose sort of my lifetime of watching football. So I went from the 1980 draft to today, and at the number one guy on my list, Darren, is in the Hall of Fame. So,
I missed one.
You might have missed one, but we'll get to it if we go backwards.
Oh yeah, you know what? Now I do see him. Okay.
There you go. All right. Yeah. So we'll start at number five, and I had Ray Donaldson, who was drafted as far back as it goes. 1980 by the Baltimore Colts. He was a center. He played 17 seasons in the NFL, the majority of them with the Colts. He wound up in six Pro Bowls, but what was kind of interesting about that was he made a bunch of Pro Bowls very early in his career with the Baltimore Colts and then the Indianapolis Colts. And then he made two Pro Bowls in his last 2 years with the Dallas Cowboys, where he ended his career, his 16th and 17th year in the league. That really speaks to his longevity and durability. He actually did not, he got a Super Bowl ring. He was on the 95 Cowboys that won it, but he was injured in the postseason and didn't play at all. So he was on the team, but didn't make it. So I had him at number five, and there was it was a little bit unclear, but there was some debate. He is considered to be the first African-American starting center in the NFL. Not necessarily maybe the first one to, have a snap, but the first one to be named a starter.
Wow. Okay. That's big news.
Yeah. So that was kind of interesting as well. So I have him at number five.
Okay. So who do you have at number four?
Number four is a guy I know you'll remember for sure. And pretty much any NFL fan of a certain age should. And that is wide receiver Henry Ellard, drafted in 1983 by the Rams. He had 114 catches. He had over 13,000 yards. What I liked is, he got off to a little bit of a slow start in his career. This is back when rookies were, they came on a little bit more slowly. And he had four straight 1,000-yard seasons for the Rams in the late 80s. And then, what people probably don't remember, and there would not really necessarily be a reason to, he wound up in free agency as a Redskin in the mid-90s after he'd already been in the league for double-digit seasons. He had three straight 1,000-yard seasons with the Redskins. And you probably don't remember, he had some rough quarterbacks during that time. This is right after the Gibbs era when the Redskins were not very good. They were rebuilding. And he was a major bright spot on those teams. He was very good. And he probably could have put up even bigger numbers if he had better quarterbacks with him. But an excellent career and was very good as an older player as well.
All right. So who do you have in the third spot?
Now, this is weird because it's a little harder when we get to the guys that were drafted somewhat recently, if their careers were kind of in the middle of their career. So I'm kind of going off of who he is and projecting maybe a little bit who he will be. He could go up on this list. Maybe he could go down. But number three is Lamar Jackson. I've got him at number three. We don't really need to get too into it. I don't need to give you many stats. We know he was a league MVP. We know how good he is. We also know that his career is maybe at a little bit of a crossroads right now in terms of, like, you know, what's the ceiling of this career going to be? Without question, he's going to go down as one of the top five, number 32nd picks of all time, though.
Okay, yeah, I mean, he's definitely a good pick. Definitely have some strong quarterback play there with Lamar Jackson. So who do you have above him?
Number two, this was tough. I didn't know whether to, I kind of flip-flopped between him and Jackson, but I have Logan Mankins at number two. He was drafted in 2005 by the Patriots, offensive guard. Talk about rock steady. He went to 7 straight Pro Bowls, and he was and really, Pro Bowls, especially now, are, you know, it's a tough marker. It doesn't mean much anymore. It used to mean a lot more. But what has always mattered and what still very much mattered and really set you apart is that first team all pro. And he did that twice, which is a really big deal. Basically, you're saying at that point, you were the best in the league at your, or at least your conference at your position. That's a really big deal. He is definitely in the Hall of Fame debate. He has not made it yet. He's been on the ballot. He's somebody that people consider. I think, I don't know if he'll get there or not. What was really interesting about this, Darren, so he was drafted by the Patriots in 2005, and he played, I think, 9 seasons with them. How many Super Bowls do you think he won?
One?
Zero.
Zero. Oh.
Somehow, okay. His exact career coincided exactly with the Patriots' Super Bowl drought. They won it in 2004. They drafted him in 2005. That he went to the Bucks in 2014 and ended his career, the Patriots won the Super Bowl again. So I don't know if that's a mark against him.
And he missed the Buccaneers Super Bowl.
What?
And he would have missed the Buccaneers
Super Bowl. And he missed the Buccaneers Super Bowl. So poor guy, never got a ring despite playing for the Patriots in the middle of their run for almost 10 years. That's really wild.
Wow. That
worked out that way. But, yeah, a great player and probably at least a borderline Hall of Famer.
Yeah, definitely a great pick there. I was wondering if he was going to show up on your list, but, yeah, yep. Great pick.
And the number one is this was easy. This is just not – even if we went back and considered Dandy Don and Bob St. Clair, and even if those guys were on my list, this guy would still be number one. And that is Hall of Fame quarterback drafted in 2001, Drew Brees. Mm-hmm. Easy as it gets. You and I could sit here and debate, you know, where he falls on the top 15 list, top 10 list, whatever you want, that's fine. But there's no debate that he is the best 32nd pick in the history of the NFL draft by the Chargers, of course. Had the shoulder injury, was going to go to the Dolphins. The Dolphins got scared of the medical report, and so he wound up in New Orleans. The rest is history. Obviously, there are – so many words to describe his career and how brilliant he was and all the records he set. And I probably don't need to do that here. If you're listening to this podcast, you probably know about Drew Brees already.
Yeah, I think so. That's a pretty big name there to know about. So that's a pretty good part. Top five, number 32 picks. I don't think I could argue with any one of those or argue that anybody should be above them. So I think that's gotcha. Great job by you. Great job. All right, so I want to give a draft stat of the day, which we're going to do over the next 32 days. And it's based on historical NFL draft data from 1937 all the way through last year, 2025. The college that has the most players selected in round one, do you know who that would be?
If we're going that far back, I would say Notre Dame.
No, they are in the top five. Okay. Ohio State University has 91 draft picks in the first round.
If we were in a more modern era, I would have guessed that, but I was a little surprised that they went that far back.
But back in, this just shows you they're 5 ahead of USC, who has 85, or I'm sorry, 6 ahead. University of Alabama has 81 and Notre Dame 71. Those are your top schools with draft picks in the first round.
Which, they're Ohio State's only going to keep adding to that tally.
Yeah, that's for sure. It'll probably add a few more this year, I'm sure.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, and the most popular college, pick number 32, since we're talking about that, was the USC Trojans. They had four picks in those 90 years that were selected at pick 32.
That's some deep research. I like that. I like that a lot. I like Good job.
Yeah, so I think that wraps up our show for today. Shows you pick 32. You can mark that X in your calendar, and you'll have 31 days when we tune back in, and we're going to talk about pick 31 tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel. Talk to you tomorrow, Ed.
See you, Darren.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hi, everyone. There's a new podcast in town, Statman and Robin. We are the dynamic duo of Baltimore sports history.
We have lots of stories to tell about the great and not so great teams and players in Baltimore's rich sports history, and some of the more obscure ones too.
We grew up together with these teams and players, and we'll add our experiences to these great stories.
Yep, we were there for a lot of them. Join us here on the Sports History Network.